Hi, and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnamphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Hope everybody's had a great week. Been very busy here in Gosport in the UK at work. I'm over at Machine Mark. Despite the doom and gloom about the UK, the European and the world economy, we seem to be doing very fine, thank you very much. So being kept very busy serving customers, putting stock out, keeping the store tidy and all that sort of stuff. So I've done a little bit of photography, of which I will go into a little bit later when I talk about our main subject for today, which is abstract macro, which hopefully will be our photo assignment for, gosh, December. It seems funny saying, doesn't it? December 2011. We're almost into 2012. I'm almost into my final year of not being 40, because next year in June I'll be hitting the big 4-0. Interesting times. But first, a word from our sponsor, GoToMeeting. If you're in business, you'll have had to spend time on conference calls, maybe because you've been talking to a supplier, a potential customer, or even the colleagues in your own company. And a telephone conversation with five other people can be unproductive at best. You know when you're in charge that other people are reading the newspaper, looking at their phones, maybe you can hear their keys as they tap away on their laptops. But with GoToMeeting, it takes it one stage further. You use your computer to talk to everybody, but not only can they see your desktop and the sales figures, the plans, the photographs, or the agenda that you want them to see, but you can see their faces too, because with the new HD faces option you have beautiful video, so everybody who's in on the meeting can be involved, because you can see what they're doing, they can see you. It's interactive, it's fun, and it is an awfully lot more productive. Now with the new features, people can even dial in from their Android phones and their iPhones and take part in the meeting. They can't use the cameras yet, but what a fantastic thing. So you can be anywhere in the world and take part in a GoToMeeting conference call. All you've got to do is just visit the URL, GoToMeeting, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. So visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. Try it for free for 30 days, and I'm pretty sure that if before you were using ordinary telephone conference calls, after a month of trying GoToMeeting, you'll be doing GoToMeeting conference calls with HD faces. Thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring SCL. Much, much, much appreciated. So, this month's photo assignment, depending on when you're listening to the podcast, abstract macro. I thought I'd pick a subject that we could do inside, because the weather here in the UK is starting to get a little bit bad. Obviously, it gets dark, very, very quickly. And also the fact that we've got Christmas coming up, and so there's lots of things that need doing. You know, our spare time is probably going to be taken up going to the shops or putting up decorations, doing all this sort of stuff, and we haven't got that much time for our photography. But with abstract macro, that's something we can do really easily in our homes. So I thought what I'd do is just talk a little bit about abstract macro, how you might want to go around doing it, and maybe I'll be able to pass on some hints and tips where you think, oh, I never thought about doing something that way. So basically, macro photography in its simplest form, I know we can get into debates about what true macro photography is with size ratios and all this stuff, but macro is just getting pretty darn close to your subject. You know, normally you'd be thinking about insects or flowers or things that you would normally go, oh wow, we're pretty close. Things that you would maybe even thought were taken with a microscope, but are actually taken with your camera. And so for our purposes for this month's assignment, we're going to be saying macro, just getting close to something. And for abstract macro, I'm just taking abstract as meaning you don't really know what the thing is at first glance. All right, so you basically abstract macro means you're going to take a close-up photograph of something, and it isn't immediately obvious what it is straight away. Now, lots of macro photography is like that. But if, for example, it was a close-up picture of an insect or a flower, and it was obvious it was one of those, that probably wouldn't fit into the idea of abstract macro. So all I really want everybody to have a go at is getting close to something and taking a composition where it's not straight away obvious what the thing is. So how can you go about taking macro photographs with your camera? First up, if you've got a compact point and shoot or anything with a fixed lens, you've probably got a macro button. If you're really lucky, you might even have a super macro button. And what happens is when you press that button, the camera will then think, they want to focus very, very close, and it will enable the lens to focus on things that are very, very close. Did I say close three times? Let's say it one more time. It will enable you to focus on things that are very, very close, because normally, in order to speed up the autofocus on your lens, in your camera, the camera won't try to focus on things that are too close, but by selecting the macro function, you'll be able to. I mean, on my Fujifilm S5700 bridge camera, you would hit the macro or the super macro mode, and you might be surprised that you can get things right up to the lens. I'm talking almost touching the lens, and you can take macro photography that way. And it is good to do that. It is incredibly easy, and the camera will look after you. Stick the camera in aperture priority mode or even full auto mode, press the macro button and have a go and see what you can come up with. Even the cheapest point and shoot camera will have a macro mode on it, and you might even find that your phone is able to focus on things. Now, if you don't have a macro button on your camera, or some of the other things I talk about in the next couple of minutes don't, you think, oh, I can't do that, or I'm not able to do that, you'd be pretty surprised. Most lenses on, excuse me, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat, just need a quick drink. Most lenses on most cameras can get pretty close. Most zoom lenses on SLRs and DSLRs can get pretty close. If it's a wide-angle zoom, you can get very, very close anyway. And wide-angle primes, you can get the minimum focusing distance can be close. So you might find that you can do macro photography without any of the other things. So we talked about just using a normal lens anyway and getting in close and seeing how close you can get. I'll say close one more time. Pressing the macro button on your compact or your bridge camera. You can also try extension tubes on SLRs, and you can try them with M42 manual focus lenses and the relevant adapters, or you can get the proper ones for your particular camera. And what extension tubes do is they're pushing the lens further away from the body. They're just hollow tubes that go sort of in between the lens and the body, and that enables the camera to focus on things that are closer. And I don't know if it does that, but what it does, it makes things look a lot bigger, so you can do macro photography on the cheap. Look out for them. I think the Canon extension tubes that are designed specifically for Canon EF lenses are actually quite expensive. I think they're at £60. But you may well find that the way that I tend to do it is I have M42 lenses, which are old manual focus screw mount ones, that I have a screw mount adapter. And what I do is I put the screw mount adapter on my Canon, and then I put a stack of extension tubes in between and put an M42 lens on the end. And that gives me a nice macro setup for, pretty cheap. I picked up the extension tubes at the car boot sale. They probably came with something else, and I pick up lenses at the car boot sales as well. And there's two types of lenses I'll use, either a prime or a zoom. If I'm handheld shooting, I will use a prime, like my 135mm f2.8, because the way you focus when you're using extension tubes is by moving the camera physically backwards and forwards, and you get things into focus. But that's tricky if you're on a tripod. So if I'm on a tripod, I'll actually use a zoom lens, my Soligor, a 90-200, and then use the zoom ring to focus the camera, not the focus ring. So something to think about. Extension tubes, either the proper electronic ones or get some M42 lenses with M42 extension tubes. Reversing rings are an interesting idea. And what they do is they flip you're fixing your lens onto your camera the wrong way. Obviously, with electronic lenses, you then lose all aperture and focus controls. But with older glass, it doesn't really matter. Close-up lenses are an excellent option and are very cheap indeed. Because one thing I missed out at the beginning, after the macro button, I meant to talk about macro lenses. So if you've got a digital SLR and SLR, you can buy specific lenses, like the 50mm, 60mm, 100mm lenses, that are macro lenses, so they're designed to focus on things that are very, very close, but they're quite expensive. Quite spendy indeed. So if you're lucky enough to have one of them, use those. But close-up lenses are, well, they're like reading glasses for your camera. You screw them on, they just look like an ordinary sort of clear lens. Screw them on the front of your lens on the filter ring, and they just magnify the things that are in front of your camera. And I've got some of those for my, I think I've got some ones for my, I've used them on my Minolta film SLRs, and they work very, very good indeed. Also, I almost forgot, you know, I think I've mentioned that I've been shooting with a wide-angle adapter on my 350D. But if you unscrew the wide-angle bit on it, the other bit is a macro adapter, and that acts like a close-up lens, so you can take pictures of things very, very close indeed. The other thing that you could do is something called free lensing, where you actually undo the lens from the front of your camera, but hold it in front of the camera, and you'll find that you can actually, the lens, because it's not on its mount and is forward a little bit, acts like it's got a little extension tube on it, and it blows things up in front of you. Now, it's a bit fiddly, because you've got to try and hold your camera, hold the lens, and then somehow take a photograph as well. It helps if your camera's on a tripod, but that's another thing you can do. And you can also flip the camera lens round and free lens without an adapter. Very, very tricky. I've only tried it a couple of times myself and have never had very satisfactory results, but I'm going to give it a go again. So just to sort of recap that. So you have your camera, you take the lens off, turn it round the wrong way, press it up against the mount, and then get really close to the stuff. And you can, again, it's tricky because you're trying to hold the lens still while pressing the shutter and holding the camera. So if you're on a tripod, very good. But give these things a go. And of course, you can also use different optical aids, like a magnifying glass. Have one of those and take pictures through that, and you can get nice and close. And, you know, don't poo-poo the idea of using these simpler optics for this macro abstract photography, because the blur and the focus being changed, the focal plane being changed when you're using free glassing, I think they call it free glassing, when your lens is independent of your camera, is very similar to old cameras where you'd be using bellows and moving things around. So you can get lots of nice lens baby type effects. Now, when you're doing macro photography, one of the problems is lack of light, which leads to long shutter speeds, which can lead to camera shake or subject shake. So you might find it useful to use a tripod or a beanbag, or just rest your camera on something when you're taking close-up shots. Don't try to handhold. And then if you've got, if lucky enough to have a shutter remote, use that. Or if not, all cameras will have some sort of shutter delay, where you can set the 5-second or the 10-second timer, and it'll take a picture after that set amount of time, and that will mean that any camera shake that you put into the camera by pressing it will have died away. If you've got an SLR, mirror lockup is something else that you could try as well. Now, the other way that you can also get around the problem of lack of light is to use a little bit of flash. Just use auto flash. The problem sometimes with using auto flash, though, on things that are very, very close, is that your lens starts to, excuse me, just have a quick drink. Your lens starts to cast its own shadow from the camera's built-in flash. So you really want to try and get that flash off the camera if you can, if you've got an external flash. Or, you know, use long exposures and popping a flash. So even if you've got like a third party flash from a totally different camera, but one that you can fire manually, which you can with no flashes, if you set your camera up so it takes like a 3-second exposure, All you do is you set your camera up to take a 3-second exposure and then fire the flash from somewhere else onto your subject, and that will then light it up. In a similar way, you can do painting with light as well. So have a torch or some sort of light source, aim your camera at the subject, do a long shutter, you know, a long exposure, say 10 seconds, by using a tight aperture, low ISO, you know the way. And then shine your torch on the subject, move it around, create some shadows, create some depth. And you'll be amazed what you can do, and especially if you're trying lots of different coloured light as well. Play around with your white balance. You know, set your white balance to, I don't know, fluorescent, and then use a tungsten light to light the subject and see what happens, or vice versa. And again, any subject will do. All we're looking for is something where you're getting close and it's not immediately obvious what it is. Get creative with your post-processing. Maybe you'll probably convert to black and white, add some vignettes, add some negatives or inversions, and try cross-processing. And maybe I might have another go at this, as a little bit of an extra challenge if you fancy it, why not try some macro film photography? Always a challenge, because with digital, as we know, you can take a photograph and look at it on the back of the screen and think, oh, I need to change this, I need to change that. But with film, you know, you've only got 24 or 36 exposures. You've got no chance of reviewing things. You've just got to trust what you're doing. But I've had a go at macro film photography with close-up lenses on the front of my 35mm Minoltas, and it's been successful indeed. So maybe I think I've got some extension tubes from one of the Olympuses I've got. So maybe I'll have a play around with that. But the main thing is to try something different. Make the most of the time we've got. Say, for example, here, what is it? It's 9:45 at night. Suzanne's watching television upstairs. I could whip out the camera and do some macro photography now with the 350D tripod extension tubes. Actually, I won't, because I've got to upload the podcast and do the show notes, but there we go. So, have a go. I'll put a link to some sort of Flickr slideshow on the robnonphoto.com Flickr group. And if you haven't joined by now, get yourself over to Flickr, join for free. Have a look for the robnonphoto.com Flickr group. Again, there's notes in the show notes of robnonphoto.com. Or I think if you're pretty much sure if you did a search, you'd find it. And join in. And you'll find threads there, you know, posts for discussions. And I'll open up a new post in a couple of days where we can all put our photographs. So there we go. Our photo assignment for December. If you fancy having a go, why not have a go at abstract macro photography. That's enough from me for this week. Many thanks to everybody for putting their questions and comments in the Flickr photo group and on the robnonphoto.com blog, and adding their photographs to the Flickr group. Really, really good stuff. Fantastic work. Very inspirational as ever. I just wish I could upload as much as everybody else and keep up with everything that's on there. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com, and pretty soon, I hope, I'll see you on Flickr.